11 minutes before 8 a.m. and you are tuned into Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka, where it's 45 degrees under overcast skies. Today is Tuesday, May 6th, 2014. I'm Melissa Marconi-Wenzel with Raven News. A former Sitka resident has died after being found unconscious on a Juneau trail. 61-year-old Sandra Gelber was a physical therapist at Bartlett Hospital. Two hikers found Gelber Sunday afternoon in a creek along the Salmon Creek Dam Trail behind the hospital. They pulled her out and administered CPR until medics arrived. She was pronounced dead about 30 minutes after being found. Bartlett spokesman Jim Strader says it isn't known how long she was on the trail before being found. Police are investigating the death. Gelber was an avid outdoors woman and lived in Sitka for many years before moving to Juneau. Salmon trollers shattered their one-week harvest record as the winter fishery came to a close last week. The Alaska Department of Fish and Game reports trollers landed a total of 55,000 kings between October and April, which is their best season since 2005. But it was that last week of April that rewrote the record books. Patty Scannis is a trollfish management biologist for the state.
It was impressive to see that right now 12,500 fish were harvested during the last full week of this year's fishery. So that's higher than anything we've seen in going back to 86.
The winter troll fishery became its own established season in 1981. The guideline harvest level for the fishery was 47,000 kings. It's not certain at the moment if that target has been exceeded, since fish produced in Alaska's hatcheries don't count against that total. Scannis says salmon abundance is so high this year that exceeding the harvest level in the winter is not likely to affect summer fishing.
I think we'll be looking at a couple of long openings in, you know, July and August. July is likely to last for, you know, at least 2 weeks, maybe three. So I think it'll be, you know, I don't think we'll hear too many people bemoaning the fact that we caught a few extra in the winter, if that happens.
Prices for kings also hit a record this year, averaging over $10 per pound for 2.5 months. Toward the end of the winter fishery, that dropped to around $6 per pound. Averaged over the season, the winter king salmon fishery this year was worth $4.7 million. Spring fishing opened on May 1st, but Scannis says the spring fishery is not an extension of winter fishing. The boundaries shift to inside waters to target salmon returning to the region's hatcheries. Scannis says many trollers use the spring to stand down.
Usually what we see in the spring, at least the first couple weeks, is a drop in effort and harvest. People often use the time to do some boat work, kind of regroup. We'll get, you know, some people venturing out, testing it out, but generally it doesn't roll right from winter into spring. It'll gradually build. Late in May, I'd say, we'll probably start seeing, you know, a good amount of effort and the harvest will pick up.
Commercial trollers are allocated the lion's share of king salmon. They'll land over 325,000 kings by the end of the summer season. All other gear groups, including sport fishermen, will land about 110,000 fish. All told, this is about 250,000 more king salmon this year than last. One question mark for the fishery is size. Scannis says this year's winter kings averaged 1 pound lighter than fish caught over the last 5 years. They were 1.5 pounds lighter than fish caught over the last 10 years. No one is sure exactly why this is happening.
We've seen a trend towards decreasing size over a number of years recently. Reasons, there's, you know, speculation about all sorts of reasons.
Scannis says research biologists are studying the question. There is evidence the fish are maturing sooner and returning to spawn before reaching larger sizes. A Sitka man has been charged with unlawful possession of game following the shooting of a bear in the Granite Creek neighborhood last week. 25-year-old Aaron Didrikson was cited by state Fish and Wildlife troopers for allegedly retaining some of the meat from the bear, which he claimed he shot in self-defense. According to troopers, Didrikson was called by a friend who lives in the Granite Creek neighborhood to help with a bear near the property. Didrikson told troopers who responded to the shooting that the bear presented an immediate threat to his safety. Alaska Wildlife Trooper Tim Hall investigated Didrikson's claim and agreed that it was a lawful shooting in defense of life or property, or DLP.
You know, the bear was very, very close to him and that he was armed to deal with that, and he did.
Didrikson would have been off the hook had he followed DLP guidelines.
Under the DLP statute, you've got to surrender certain parts of the animal.
Didrikson turned in the skull and hides with claws attached to state troopers, but it was later discovered that Didrikson kept a portion of the meat. That's not legal because the bear belongs to the state.
There were some postings made on the Sitka Bear Report Facebook page that suggested that he had kept bear meat to make jerky out of.
Didrikson forfeited the meat to troopers. He will be arraigned in Sitka Court on June 3rd. A record number of University of Alaska Southeast graduates were honored this weekend during commencement ceremonies in Juneau, Ketchikan, and Sitka. 685 students received awards, including bachelor's and graduate degrees, occupational endorsements, and certificates. The Juneau campus held its 43rd annual commencement ceremony Sunday at the UAS Rec Center. Emily Rose King gave the student commencement speech to a packed audience. She spoke about not being afraid to fail.
A college degree doesn't ensure success, but I'm pretty sure that it means you know how to fail. It means that when presented with difficult readings, math problems, lovers, crazy people, you can figure out how to proceed. After we take off these really, really interesting hats, we're going to have every opportunity to potentially succeed and fail, and we should probably take them.
Juno playwright and screenwriter Dave Hunsaker received an honorary doctorate for his contribution to literary and dramatic arts in Alaska. He's known for the play Yupik Antigone, which toured in Alaska, New York, France, and Greece. As the commencement speaker, Hunsaker described his connection to the Native community, which began as a school music teacher in Tyonik, an Athabascan community on Cook Inlet.
Since that beginning, it has been my extraordinary privilege to be associated in my work and life with the Native people of Alaska and their ancient cultures that are so inextricably tied to this land.
Hunsaker gave this advice to the graduating class of 2014.
Keep and cherish your identity as an Alaskan always, however you define it, however it has shaped you. It is a proud legacy that we all share. Let it give you stature in the wide world and pride. Congratulations, everyone, and good luck. Chikinik, Kargalakuk, Goyana, Gunashish. Thank you.
About 90% of UAS graduates are from Alaska. Nearly 12% are Alaska Native or American Indian. This is the first time UAS has had graduates with a Bachelor of Liberal Arts in Alaska Native Languages and Studies. And last month, Wrangell's iconic Totem Bar went smoke-free. Now a longtime Ketchikan institution is following suit. The popular sourdough bar in downtown Ketchikan banned smoking starting last week. It's a big deal for this established business, and while many people are happy about the switch, there are a few quiet grumbles. KRBD's Layla Carey visited the bar on the last day that smoking was allowed to talk with some longtime patrons who gather weekly for what they like to call the board meeting.
Oh, hey!
Hey, how are you?
How's it going?
Not bad.
Chill.
So is this the board meeting?
Andrea Murphy is a bartender at the Sourdough Bar. She's also a regular participant in the bar's twice-weekly board meetings, which is the formal term for a group of regulars that for years has gathered on Sundays and Wednesday afternoons to check in, have a couple of drinks, and, for some of them, smoke. Now, though, the smokers will have to take it outside, because the 50s-era sourdough bar is officially smoke-free. The owners decided a couple of weeks ago to make the switch, saying that they expect a proposed statewide ban on workplace smoking to pass in the next year or two, and they wanted to get in ahead of that ban.
Oh, are you giving away the ashtrays?
We have a lot that we have no need for anymore, so the boss has informed me that... Hey, take one on the way out.
Murphy smokes, so she'll have to go outside now if she wants a cigarette. But as an employee, she knows she'll benefit.
We're all thinking this is great. We want to breathe. So.
On the other hand, though...
I'm definitely on the fence. I'm pro because of the health issue. But also, when people come up here, it's the last frontier. It's that... time warp. It's that feeling of, I do get tourists, they're like, oh my goodness, where am I? This is great.
So what has the reaction been to the announcement? What have you heard from customers?
It's been from both sides. I've heard some angry reactions to, hey, this is Alaska. This is come to Alaska, it's the last frontier. You smoke cigarettes, we drink, we're lagers, or rough around the edges.
Murphy says that others told her they'll start coming to the sourdough now that smoking is no longer allowed.
And that was Layla Carey in Ketchikan. We're coming up on 8 a.m. That's all for Raven News for this morning. You can listen to or read most Raven News stories again on our website, kcaw.org. To read comments on our stories on Facebook, click on the Facebook link. No registration or login is required. And to have KCAW News headlines tweeted directly to your smartphone, tablet, or computer, click on the Twitter link. Well, it's 45 degrees in downtown Sitka under overcast skies. The forecast does call for clouds today throughout our listening region, with rain moving in tomorrow. The only exception is Cake, where it should be sunny. Temperatures today in the mid to upper 60s. Coming up at 8:18, I'll have a live local interview with Gwyn Brown, Sitka Fine Arts Camp artist in residence. She's a musicologist and mbira player. I hope you can join us for that. And let's take a quick look at the community calendar, which is online at kcaw.org. The Sitka High Music Department presents its finale concert today, 7 p.m. at the Performing Arts Center. Admission is a suggested $5 donation. This is the final concert of music director John DePilatis. A reception will follow. You can call 966-1913 for more information. And then coming up tomorrow at 8 a.m., Marine Safety Detachment Sitka will hold its annual Uninspected Passenger Vessel Industry Day that will run until 4 p.m. in room 106 at UAS. Participants in the wet trainer should take rain gear to register, or for more information, 966-5454. It's 8:01.